from East River 9 for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Well, we're doing pretty good because we're out at East River 9 Golf Course on the east side. Patch Creighton in for Jeremy Branham, along with Joel Blank. Brian McDonald here with us on site. And, of course, our man Brendan Riley back in the studio. This is a really cool place, Joel. I mean, you got a great view of the city skyline here. I don't think I've ever seen this side of the city skyline before. This is really cool.
No, I was going to say, Pat, here's the thing. You guys, I tell you about these best-kept secrets and things as we go to these places. If you are someone that works in downtown or someone that loves golf, if you don't know about this place, you better find out about it real quickly. It is a driving range. It is a full-length driving range and a par 3 course, like a mile from downtown. This place is going to go crazy with people. It is beautiful. Like you said, the view is unbelievable. But the fact that on a lunch hour, you could go get 9 holes in an hour in a par 3 and or hit balls, it's spectacular.
It's kind of like tucked in a spot where you wouldn't think that a golf course
Correct.
Could fit, which is like why you said that makes like the hidden gems inside the city here on the east side. Now, granted, I don't live on the east side, but I never would have thought, hey, in this industrial area,
right?
You know, over by a train crossing, they've tucked in a beautiful golf facility with amazing views of the city and pretty good food and drinks, and it's a really cool place, man. This is like my speed of going to a golf place. This is kind of like it. This is awesome.
I grew up learning to play golf on par threes. My dad would force me to go. And you didn't need a full set of clubs, and you didn't have to hit a driver in all your woods, but you could play golf and learn the concept and understand how things, how the game's played. That taught me. And to have it this close to downtown and to have it this scenic and the fact that there's lights on it you can play at night is amazing. And like I said, and then a full driving range, a lot of people and even, you're kind of the new hip and cool top golfs of the world that, you can't hit drivers. I mean, to go on to this driving range, full driving range, hit drivers, hit all the irons you want. I'm all in on this place.
This is very awesome. This is Hurst Street. It's
East End, Edo. As Edo develops, it's kind of east of the far east point of Edo, but it's perfectly located.
You know, if like the way that I came into town was off I-10, you get off at Waco, and then Waco, I guess, turns into Hurst right as it crosses the train tracks. So it's just south of the train tracks coming from Waco. So this from Waco Street. So this is a great place. Come on down. We're here till 3, and then of course you have the wheelhouse here till 7 o'clock. So lots of great times that are going to be out here at the golf course. Lots of great times for Astros fans right now because everybody's still celebrating their second world championship. And, I mean, I'm still celebrating the second world championship. I'm still buying things because I have children. Dad, can you get – Dad. My daughter is like, Dad, do they have the hoodies out yet? Dad, I really want a hoodie.
Oh, you're just snapping up gear, huh?
Last year when you got the World Series hoodies as the series started, those things were $85. Mm-hmm. Well, my daughter wanted one, and my son wanted one.
I wanted one. You didn't get me
one. My brother wanted one. My sister wanted one.
Jeez.
My mom wanted one. I must have bought like 9 hoodies.
Yeah, that sounds like you got a budget that I'm not dealing with.
Yeah, that budget hurt, by the way.
I guess.
So, my daughter's like, hey, Dad, are the hoodies out yet? I haven't gone to look yet, but I'm assuming they will have hoodies out soon, and I'll buy one for my daughter because you have 2 little girls of your own, and dads don't say no to daughters. We don't.
I'm telling you, did you see this in the last 2 days between Academy and Dick's? They are doing the Astros are all making appearances, and yesterday the guys, you had to get a wristband. So the people were lined up 24 hours in advance to get the wristband so that they could actually stop sleeping in their lawn chairs and then come back to get back in line so they could see Javier and Yordan and Bregman and Tucker. Now it's Altuve's at the one in Pasadena tonight. I think it's a Dick's. They started lining up last night. with mattresses, tents, and lawn chairs. And this one, you don't get a wristband and can't come back. You have to stay the entire time. There are people that will be in a line around the building for over a day just to get a picture and or autograph from Jose Altuve.
Wait, so you had to get a wristband?
Yeah.
So what is this, being run by 90s Ticketmaster?
Well, so I think that prevents them from, like, the entire time having to drape around their store while they have regular foot traffic. But that conceptual, every guy doesn't show up till 6:30 that night, and then they go till like 8 o'clock. So Altuve won't be at the one at Pasadena until 6:30 this evening. Yet last night at 6:30, they were already lined up so that they could save their spot to see Altuve.
That's called drugs, Joel.
It's
drugs.
It's a bit nuts.
As much as I would love, you know, if I were a fan, I would want to see Jose Altuve. Maybe he's my favorite player. But I'm not sitting outside for 24 hours to try to get a picture or try to get an autograph. There is a certain degree of insanity that requires heavy drug use. I think that's the line.
It's, you know, and of course, for those of us that have been around sports, you kind of get tainted and spoiled by it, where you don't have to do as much, or you don't think about it the way a lot of other people and fans do. But, man, I'm telling you what, that would be just a little bit too much of dedicated time for me, family guy or not, to think that, oh, yeah, I'm going to sit there for over a day just for like 5 minutes or less, like basically about a minute and a half, where the guy shakes your hand, takes a picture, tries to sign something for you, and you move on.
Honey, call me into work because I'm going to sit outside of Academy or Dick's to try to get an autograph. I feel like Honey would say, no, you're an idiot.
I don't know that there would even be a yes or a no. I would just get, you're an idiot. I mean, that's just like, are you serious? That to me, and obviously even as a single, I saw these, the one lady says, I just beat cancer. And the first thing I wanted to do was go meet my man Altuve. So she had, like, the first seat in line, and she had been there since, like, 3 o'clock yesterday. Like, that's just too much time.
All right, number one, kudos to you for beating cancer.
Correct.
That is awesome. Number two, as somebody who's had my battles with the C word, personally, my mom, my father, my sister, countless people in my family, like, when I get back, the first thing I want to do is see my family.
Right.
Not see Jose Altuve. Nothing against Jose Altuve. Wonderful man.
But it leads to what you were saying about how stoked people still are about the World Series.
I mean, drugs.
I don't know what you thought, but the fact that they guesstimated 2 million people at the parade, like the fact that this city got what it deserved and wanted and is still basking in it, God love them for that.
Think about that.
I'm just not dedicating a day and a half to getting five seconds with an Astros player.
They estimated 40% of the greater Houston area was at the parade. 2 million people, that's 40% of the greater Houston area. Not just the city, but, you know, up to the Woodlands, down to Galveston, out to Katy, out to Beta. That's an insane amount of people.
This is
why I don't go to parades. I don't like that many people.
Well, but, you know, and the thing is, if that's your lead story is who's cleaning it up, well, you should have thought about that when you, you know, lined up the parade. But that's the price you pay, and that's a small price to pay for what people got out of it. At least, unlike other cities where they flip over cars and set them on fire and start riots and do all kinds of stupid stuff like firing off guns and getting into fights, we had a chick fight. We had Ted Cruz getting hit by a full can of beer, and we had a dude in his skivvies tatted up, hanging from the Dallas street sign on the parade route. Other than that, you came out of it unscathed, and you looked like you're a big city that knows how to handle your business.
Houston looked like a city that had
been there before. Done it.
Yes. Unlike the
city
of Philadelphia, who basically burned their entire city to the ground because they won a Super Bowl.
Sorry, Brendan, but Detroit, not so good track record when you win something.
Hell, Vancouver burns their city to the ground when they lose in the Stanley Cup Finals, let alone a match if they won. But, yeah, I thought the city, the people of the city, did a great job just celebrating their team, not being lunatics, not destroying their own city. Only two chicks got in a fight, and I would bet one of them's from Philadelphia. But that was it. That was it. That was the only thing that TMZ could come up with was two women, only two, out of 2 million, two women got into a fight.
I mean, I'll take it. I mean, the fact that there were no casualties and you know, no guns being fired. Or remember, even last time, the people that had parked on corners where the route was going by, the people that couldn't see the players used any car that was in front of them to stand on the rooftops, and the hoods dented them, you know, damaged them, and then just took off after the parade. So they elongated the route so they could avoid dumbasses that decided that they were going to take other people's vehicles and turn them into their own personal jungle gym so that they could get a glimpse of an Astros player.
It's one of those times that the people in the city of Houston might want to consider mass transit. It's one of those times where it's okay to say, well, I'm going to use mass transit even though I'm not a poor. Because that seems to be, like, coming from New York, we all use mass transit, not a big deal. But down here, it seems like the attitude is only poor is use mass transit. I don't know. I've never taken the light rail before because I don't live in the city.
Well,
I don't even know where
true.
It goes other than NRG and UH.
I used to live in Midtown, and it made perfect sense. Like, I mean, and half the people don't even pay when they get on it. But, I mean,
for
a dollar or whatever it is to go all the way down to the Texans game and back, if you know, I lived right there in Midtown, that it was so convenient, and you have to worry about parking or anything else. That we did it for the rodeo cook-off. We did it for a lot of things. It's great.
I mean, I think about playoffs, right? It's like, all right, I can, you can hop the light rail for $2, or you can pay $80 to park. That's not a hard choice for me, Unfortunately, coming from, as you guys say, East San Antonio, where I live, there is no train that just runs right down to the stadium, but. It's been a great, great week here of Houston sports. And it now brings us to a very interesting part of the season, because the GM meeting's wrapping up. Free agency officially begins today at 4 o'clock local time. And the Astros general manager doesn't have a contract.
Yeah.
So it does create a very interesting scenario. And it does lead to some questions as far as, well, what exactly are the Astros' biggest need, and shouldn't general manager be one of them? Who exactly is calling the shots, and is there a separation that is on the horizon?
Some pretty big news about a certain pitcher on the roster that just made his decision we've been waiting for, too. So lots to talk about.
And we'll get to it all next, the Killer Bees.
Hey, before we get to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I've been telling you about it for quite a while. Look, the people at Apollo know what they're doing. They take care of people on a daily basis. You're not trying to win a gold medal at this point in your life. You're trying to win the day. In order to win the day, maybe you need more energy in your life. And for men and women, it starts with hormone therapy and B12 shots, all offered at Apollo Men's Health. You need something else, like maybe getting on a workout program and you want to do a full body composition analysis to start the adventure and see where you are beginning from, you can do that too. You want to recover quicker? HGH peptide therapy. So much more, all available under two roofs that are both near downtown Houston. Two locations to better serve you. Just go to apollomh.com right now and you can find out all the services they offer. If there's something that you like that you can get involved with, all you need to do is set up an appointment. When you do, you'll find out that most major insurance has accepted discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot or free body comp on your first visit, and let the process go from there. Doc O and his staff are going to take care of you. Tell them what your goals are and where you're kind of lacking. They're going to make you feel a whole lot better time you start until the time your adventure ends, and that's when you start losing weight, feeling great, and getting that energy back in your life. It's a great place where they do great things. Check out the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from East River 9. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Joel Blank. I'm Patrick Creighton for Jeremy Branham. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, live from East River 9 Golf Course on the east side on Hurst Street. Great view of the city, terrific food, beautiful park, beautiful golf facility. Just got a message from our friend Crystal that she is coming here, like so many other
Betty
Hive
Crocker,
members.
As I call her. Good, be good to see her. Haven't seen her in a while.
So many members of the Hive coming out to East River 9 today to play some golf, hang out with us, and talk some sports. And Joel, the Astros, there are certain things. Can you say they need an outfielder? I think you can say they need an outfielder. I'm not going to say it has to be a center fielder, but I'm going to say they need an outfielder. Mm-hmm. They need a first baseman. They probably need to address the bullpen because they've got a handful of guys who are free agents in the pen. I would say those are the three needs of the Astros on the field. However, they also need a general manager who is going to figure all this out. And right now, their general manager, James Click, does not have a contract. There have been a lot of discussions over who's really calling the shots. Is it James Click? Is it Jim Crane? Justin Verlander, who, as you alluded to before the break, officially opted out of his deal today. He has officially become a free agent, which was a procedural thing. We all knew that was going to happen. But we've heard Verlander say before, Jim Crane negotiated his deal. Jim Crane will negotiate his deal again.
Well, Crane said yesterday we had till 4 o'clock or whatever. They were watching the clock. They were trying to make sure that they used up all their allotted time to try and see where he was coming from, what he wanted to do, so they had an idea of what they were going to do. So at least they're on top of it. He didn't lie. He said one of the first calls he was going to make was to JV, and evidently it was.
Jim Crane was the negotiator of Dusty Baker's contract. Jim Crane was the one who gave Dusty the year extension last year. He is the one who gave Dusty the year extension this year. And real quick, your thoughts on the idea of going year to year with Dusty Baker like this.
It's perfect for Dusty. At this point in his career, at his age, you don't know what else he wants to do and how long he wants to do this. But he, you know, they needed him. He needed them. It worked out. It worked out so well that he actually culminated the whole thing by getting his first World Series championship and got the whole nation, on his side and saw the Cinderella story. And I don't think he was looking for long-term commitment at this point. I think it's the perfect deal for a manager at his age in this stage. I don't think it's the perfect deal, and I said this yesterday on the show, for a general manager that just won you a World Series title, didn't exactly sit there and twiddle his thumbs sitting on his hands, didn't make a blockbuster, but didn't have to. And I think it's a slap in the face, and it's offensive to anybody that doing what he's done over a three-year span to get a one-year deal as an offer and still not have a contract when he's done all that he's done.
So you and I are kind of in lockstep here with Dusty. He's 73 years old. Nobody else is knocking on Dusty's door to come rescue them, per se. And he's been here 3 years. He's gone to 3 ALCS. He's won 2 pennants and a World Series. Dusty is going to go year to year, and he's not going to be like, it's not like they're going to pay him $1 million. I mean, Jim Crane's going to compensate him fairly, and at his age, they'll go year to year. It's like a rolling one-year contract. Mm-hmm. Dusty's going to manage here as long as Dusty wants to manage here, as long as the Astros don't take a sudden left turn.
Yeah, no, I think that, look, you know, I've been critical of him during the year, and I think rightly so, based on moves that he made, but like I also said, he adopted the NBA philosophy of load management, and he used it to a T to work it to his advantage, got to the playoffs fully healthy with the exception of Michael Brantley, and you can never predict when those kind of injuries happen, and then basically pushed all the right buttons in the postseason and got them over the hump and got them that much-needed second title.
The deal with Click is really strange because I can't recall any time in the last 50 years a general manager coming into a very difficult situation, which, look, the Astros were in a difficult situation. They had just gotten hit with all their penalties for the sign-stealing scandal. They had lost first and second-round picks in back-to-back years. They were fined a big amount of money. Their comp picks were going to be pushed back from second rounds to 4 rounds. They did not have a young trail of talent coming in. They just got whaled for cash. They had a pretty good team with some players who were due for big paydays. And I think that James Click was the right guy at that moment because he's a more conservative approach, takes a very analytical view. He needed to hold the line on money. Did he want to? I think that was something that came from up above. I said last year, unless it was Max Scherzer, they were not going over the tax. If they could have gotten Max Scherzer, then I think Jim Crane would have signed off on it. But otherwise, he made moves that kept them under the tax line and bolstered their bullpen. He made some savvier moves, and he did the things that this team needed him to do. They were able to, effectively replace George Springer, not as well as George, but they replaced him with capable players. They replaced Carlos Correa with a guy who just won ALCS and World Series MVP and a gold glove. So is Jeremy Peña during the regular season, is he as good a player as Carlos Correa is right now? No, but they don't necessarily need him to be exactly as good. Gave them everything they needed them to give. Normally in this situation, a guy who's coming off a world championship and his contract is up, that guy's getting at least a three-year deal, probably a four-year deal, maybe more. The fact that he is being held to a one-year deal standard really tells you Jim Crane does not want James Click as the general manager.
And that's the thing. I mean, can't they just have honest dialogue and just say, hey, you know what? Crane's reputation has been he doesn't like to fire guys. He likes their contract to expire. I mean, he's doing them an extra solid by going to the general manager's meetings when he's not being paid, when he doesn't have a new contract. And yet Jim Crane's not doing him an extra solid, letting him dangle in the wind. And if you believe the reports, only getting a one-year deal. If you want to do the guy a solid and you believe that what he did was the best thing for this organization, just like what Dusty did was the best thing for this organization, you owe it to him to give him a multi-year deal. And if you're not going to do that, you owe it to him to let him know, hey, we're going in another direction. And to Jeremy's point yesterday, I mean, short of offering him a multi-year deal and just eating the remaining years of the deal when you decide to hire a president of baseball operations in the next year or so, that becomes his boss. And if he doesn't like it, he can skip. And if he does like it, then he can collect his money and understand he has another voice to report to. That's something in itself where at least he gets taken care of financially. But right now, he's not being taken care of while he's taking care of the Astros, and he's dangling in the wind. I don't think that's fair of anybody, but especially a guy that's done his job.
I mean, he is getting paid. He just doesn't have a contract. So he's an at-will employee. So if the Astros turn around and say, okay, you're out, well, they don't owe you anything else. But and 100% understand what you're saying here, because James Click was at the meetings representing this team in their best interest, doing the right thing by the organization, and the organization does not appear to be doing the right thing by James Click. Now, look, if you don't want James Click as your general manager anymore, then I agree with you. Jim Crane should just say, look, I want somebody else. You seem to want somebody else, because we've certainly heard about how Click and Dusty have banged heads. Now, I will tell you, I think that's good for a baseball team. I think if the GM and the manager are 100% lockstep in agreement all the time, that creates a groupthink, and then they don't actually ever think outside the box or look at anything different. So I think it's good that they bang heads a little bit. But that Crane and Click bang heads as much as they do, we've certainly all heard how much David Stearns, former president of baseball operations with the Milwaukee Brewers, yeah, a guy who was once a part of the Astros organization, left, I believe, after the 2015 season, that how much there's a connection there and that Jim Crane probably wants him to take over James Click's role. Now, if this is about I don't want to pay compensation to the Brewers because he's got another year left on his contract, you just printed $100 million in the last 3 days in merchandise. It shouldn't be that big a deal. But the dangling in the wind of James Click of, well, I'll give you a one-year deal. You just won a World Series. It looks absolutely awful.
It's not fair. It's not right. And it's not something he deserves. Right? He might not be the right guy. And personality conflicts and whatever their communication differences are, you know, we've been in enough business deals in our lifetime to realize they're not all kumbayas and the perfect scenario, but you owe it to the guy to at least be up front with him and say, hey, I appreciate all you've done, but this isn't something that I feel comfortable with going forward, and I own the team, so thanks, but no thanks, and, you know, if I can give you a good recommendation or whatever, so be it. I think that there's no shortage of suitors for a guy like James Click. I think that, you know, as much as Jeremy said, there's nobody that's looking for a general manager currently, that could change in the blink of an eye if an owner decides, hey, I'm not real fond of the guy I've got, and I could get the guy that just basically put the finishing touches on a World Series title and is coming from a Tampa Bay system where he can be analytical with the best of them and knows how to, you know, run a front office. I want that guy, and I can create an opening for him if I know I can get it.
And it's not like, oh, hey, James Click, since you're not general managing a team right this second, how about you come over to us on ESPN and do some analysis for us for $4 million? It's not like he'll be out of work for more than 5 minutes until he goes and gets another job. And, yes, he would be in very high demand, especially for teams who are trying to use that Tampa Bay model, teams that don't have the financial resources of the Houston Astros, to see, okay, this is a guy who knows how to build a team with limited resources. He's a guy who knew how to hold the line on a team with good resources. Let's see what he can do for us. I don't think he would have any trouble getting a job, and look, what the Astros are doing to him, it's like him or don't like him, give him a contract with a buyout option, right? Like you said, financially reward the guy who's taken care of you coming out of, you know, an ugly scandal, an ugly situation, steadied your ship, and kept the success moving. All right, coming up next, we talk about different needs that the Astros might have. Could they shopping for an outfielder? We'll take a look at some of the top outfield free agents. Coming up next.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at MyBookie. Look, another big weekend of sports coming up. We got NBA basketball that's going on, NCAA and NFL football, of course, on the docket every single weekend. And maybe you want to make those games more interesting, whether it's be your favorite team and you got some inside information. Or maybe you just want to make an uninteresting game more interesting with a chance to win money. The thing you need to do is go to mybookie.ag, because mybookie.ag takes care of their customers. They do it on a daily basis. They're doing it again right now, where your next deposit up to $1,000, they're going to give you half of that on top of it, so up to $1,000. So say you put $1,000 in your account. They're going to put an extra $500 in so you can get more out, buy more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances to win. Put $100 in, they're going to put $50 extra. Now, again, more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances that you can cash in. It's really that simple. All you do is use the promo code BET975. Every time they ask for a code, when you put in BET975, good things happen. This is just another example of that. And they're going to continue to do so throughout the sporting season. So that's why you go there. They take care of their customers. They pay when you win, and they take care of you with different promotions like the one they've got going on now. Tell them I sent you by, because it's the best place to do business. Just go to mybookie.ag, put in that promo code BET975, and let the games begin. Because as I always tell you, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from East River 9. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So, shout out to Raymond Barlow, who apparently does not like our conversation.
Wow, you went full name on me. I was just going to go Raymond, going, evidently everybody loves Raymond, but Raymond doesn't love us.
We are bleeping inappropriate. Because we are bitching about the owner and the organization, and anything at all is just inappropriate.
We're having a discussion about our favorite baseball team as it goes forward or tries to, with key members of the organization wondering if they will still be key members of the organization. It's what we do daily. Sometimes we strike a nerve. Most times we strike up conversation. That's why they call it sports talk radio. Thanks, Ray.
There's a phone number. It's the same number that you texted that you could have called and expressed yourself. You would have had to drop the F-bombs. You can't use those. But otherwise, yeah, you could have called up and expressed yourself directly in it. And it would have been a fun conversation. Because the truth of the matter is, yes, it's great they won a World Series. Everyone is excited about that. That doesn't mean that they walk on water and that everything they touch is gold and they are above reproach and they cannot be discussed.
Do you want him back? Do you want Click back?
I think Click earned the right to be back.
Okay.
Now, do I think he is, is he the best general manager in the league? I think he's a little conservative for my taste. Mm-hmm. And I also think that that is something that changes with more experience. As you become more experienced on the job and you have more trust in yourself and your organization, as you have a little bit more faith of the owner and you know you can get away with things, Brian Cashman, as you know you can, you have latitude, then, yeah, I think he becomes more aggressive. It's fair to say that since James Click clearly hasn't had the faith of the owner for probably over a year now, that's probably why he's not out there taking big chances, although he was going to trade Jose Urquidy for Wilson Contreras, and Jim Crane said, no. So it's not like he hasn't made efforts to make significant moves. He hasn't made major significant moves, but also they don't have a deep farm system. He has wanted to watch the line because that is an edict from the owner. So for everything that people say, well, he hasn't done or he should have done, he's done everything he needed to do to go to three straight ALCSs, win two pennants in a World Series.
See, to me, the thing is he's also been very, very open to whatever the owner wanted. He didn't get to choose his own manager. He obviously has to check with him on every move that he makes. But, you know, he hasn't been able to implement everything he's wanted to do because every general manager wants the ability to hire their own manager. And every general manager would like to have more overall control, including negotiations on certain contracts where the owner just comes in the case of a Justin Verlander and says, I know what you think we should do or what you should think we should offer. It's my team and I'll do it my way. And yet they found a way to find enough common ground to win a World Series. It's not always going to be ideal. We know some of the bosses we've worked for in our lives. Some have been better than others. Some you've been, you know, willing to go out and have beers or play golf with, and others you want to get the hell away from as fast and as far as you can the minute that the clock hits 5:30. Well, the fact that they made it work was good enough. I believe that he was on the clock. I think both guys were to some degree, but I think Dusty was a little bit, but I think Click was a lot in terms of win the World Series or bust. He did. When he won the World Series, that should have validated the fact that you need to do right by him. Maybe it's 2 years, maybe it's three, and you have some kind of opt-outs or options. But I don't think it should have warranted just a one-year deal because, as we know in professional sports, the biggest lame duck slap in the face is to let someone dangle in the wind with a one-year deal. I think it's insulting.
And again, it's different with Dusty, right? Because Dusty is going year to year because of his age. If Dusty ever decides, you know what, I'm done, I'm going to walk away, okay, we part as friends. But you also saw at the end of the ALCS the whole team on stage chanting, Dusty, Dusty. They love Dusty.
And Dust Baker. We Trust, and Dust, Dustiny instead of Destiny. There was lots of...
The only guy who wasn't chanting and smiling and happy was James Click. We probably understand why. That he's being... Dusty's being treated the way he is because, look, like I said, it's a rolling contract. Dusty's going to manage as long as he wants to manage and the team doesn't go south. For James Click, it's a totally different line because he's much younger. He has a lot more responsibility from the administrative point of view and from a team-building point of view. And he said, when you win a world championship, you deserve part of the spoils of war. And, like you said, to get a one-year deal, not even a, hey, we'll give you a three-year deal, but we have a club option after each year, so we'll pay you $5 million a year. We've got a club option for $2 million. We can buy you out. At least then he's still getting some kind of compensation.
If they get rid of him, he has a reward to walk as he walks away. Again, I don't think he's going to be short of opportunities to work again, job again. But I just think it's the right thing to do, and I don't think they're handling it the right way right now.
Mr. Barlow did text in. He said he goes by Clay. So I want to properly call him Clay because that's what he asked us to call him. And again, look, you're an Astros fan just like us. At the end of the day, we're all friends. We have different points of view. But please, if you really feel strongly about it, call us at 713-780-3776, and you can give us your point of view directly, which is a lot more fun and more engaging than the text line. Now, I mean, sometimes people are at work, and the text line is kind of the only way they can get in. But if you're able to call in, call in. Just because Joel and I are out on remote doesn't mean we won't take your call.
Right.
We won't give you the chance to talk. We'll be interactive and have a conversation with you. That's kind of what this format is. That's what makes radio so much better than TV sports. Because in TV, you get 2 minutes of somebody telling you, blah, 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 yay. Here, you actually get to have a conversation like we're sitting at the bar over a couple of beers and a burger. It's the only medium that gives you that opportunity. So take advantage of it.
Yeah, no question about it. Look, I mean, and no one's bashing Jim Crane. I think Jim Crane, and we talked about this yesterday, Jim Crane's the best owner in Houston sports. And Jim Crane, you know, he's a businessman, and he's shrewd about a lot of the ways that he does his business. Some people like it, some people don't. I think you're letting your general manager dangle in the wind. I don't question your ability to want to win and your ability to pull the trigger on moves that can help you have a better chance to win, but you're not going to handle every deal the way I feel it's appropriate. And that doesn't mean you're trying to please me or your fan base. You're going to do it how you're going to do it, and that's why you have the privileges you have by being an owner. So you deal it and you see your way through it. I mean, I'm interested to see how pseudo general manager Jim Crane has conversations with Justin Verlander now he's on the market. We talked about it yesterday. I'm curious your thoughts, because I don't know that I would go over $35 million a year with Justin Verlander. I don't know that in the back of my mind I didn't think about the fact that you paid him for 2 years while he didn't pitch. The fact that he did pitch his ass off in the regular season, but he struggled for the most part during the playoffs, that there shouldn't have been some kind of a buddy-buddy, literally, talk between the two of them to say, hey, let's work something out for a couple years, but let's do it where you take the 25 for one more, then we kind of give you maybe a little extra the year after that to take care of you, but let's do this so we can still put the appropriate team on the field we need to so we can stay competitive. You can chase your 300 wins. You can do what you got to do. We can do what we got to do.
Now, real quick, somebody had said, one of our friends in the 409 asked about Joe Espada. Now, Joe Espada was up for a couple of managerial jobs.
Marlins,
he did not get them.
Yep.
Joe Espada essentially is still the manager in waiting of the Houston Astros because for some reason, other teams don't seem to want to give him an opportunity for whatever that reason is. I think it's insane he hasn't gotten an opportunity yet, but at some point, Joe Espada is going to get that opportunity. If he doesn't get it by the time Dusty finally walks away, he's going to take over the Houston Astros and the juggernaut that they have been now for the last, say, 6 years or so. You talk about Justin Verlander. I know we were going to get into the outfielders. Let's table the outfielder discussion for a moment. Let's get to Justin Verlander because he did officially opt out. This is a negotiation directly between Jim Crane and Justin Verlander. And is Justin Verlander essentially Jim Crane's unicorn? We'll get into that next.
Live from East River 9 for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Joe Blank. I'm Pat Schrittner for Jeremy Branham, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5. And before we get into Justin Verlander, let's hit the phones real quick. Rob, you are in the hive. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, quick question for you guys. If Crane does not get re-signed as a GM, what's an alternative for someone at GM for the Astros?
Appreciate the call, Rob. Look, if Click doesn't get re-signed, the rumor we talked about yesterday, Pat brought it up again today, was Stearns was the hot name, was the president of baseball operations for the Brewers. There was rumors, being my hometown, I talked to a lot of people that said they thought that he might have some personal things going on. That's why he wanted to take a step back. For whatever the reason, he's still under contract for one more year. That has been the early indication why Crane only offered Click a one-year deal, because when Stearns is available, it seems like he would be at the top of the list of guys that he would want. Sig's another name that came up, a former Astros employee that's with Baltimore, and Sig, is it Mizell? Sig Mizell?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sig would be another guy that, under the kind of Luno Astros umbrella and then sprawled out and spread out when he went to Baltimore, might be a guy that might be in the mix as well.
Yeah, Pipitola might have been a candidate, but now he has moved on to believe he's now the Angels general. Not the Angels.
Assistant general manager of, is it Miami?
Okay, yeah, because like, he just got hired.
Yep.
So that would have been an in-house opportunity, but he's moved on already. So appreciate the call, Rob. Chris, you are in the hive. What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. Hey, before I give my opinion, I wanted to ask you all a question. Other than Contreras, what other moves did Crane, nix when, Click wanted to make? Can we think of any other moves?
Well, those are things that we wouldn't necessarily always
know.
Generally, when a trade doesn't get done, that information doesn't usually become public. So it's only because this time it happened to come public that we know about it. A lot of times you might find like we would learn about deals that, the 88 Mets tried to make that we didn't learn about for 20 years.
It takes an insider willing to become an outsider and spill the beans and say, hey, when I was there or this year we were working on deal A or deal B, and this is how it either went through or got broken up. We heard that when they eventually pulled the trigger on Verlander, and what was it? It trickled out over the next 6 months, how the deal got done and when the calls were made and how close to the deadline they were. Those are the kind of things that sometimes you find out, sometimes you don't. But, the one thing you know is that from James Click's perspective, it wasn't like he didn't try. I mean, whether they worked out or not, in retrospect, when you look back, he got Vasquez. He got Mancini. So he got two guys that were starters on other teams at different positions that were supposed to be brought in to help. you can be the judge of how much they helped or didn't help. Previously, he reconstructed the bullpen on the fly at the deadline the year before and gave them a better chance to close out games than they would have had if they did nothing. So he didn't make a blockbuster move, but he did make a lot of moves, and we don't know the moves that were nixed behind the scenes.
Let's also be fair about this. Not one person in this city was upset when he pulled the move for Trey Mancini. Everyone was very happy. They were ecstatic. In fact, everyone sitting at this table, we were all banging the table. Why isn't Trey Mancini playing? Why is he not in the lineup?
Jeremy is the first one that brought it up. The more I thought about it, I jumped on board. I was the vice president of the Trey Mancini fan club. If Jeremy was the president of making the trade, I was ecstatic when they made the move. He started out like gangbusters, and it showed why they made the move. And then all of a sudden he fell off in the playoffs, which you can't predict. He had never been there. We had never been there with him. And it didn't turn out so great, but he made one hell of a play at first base that helped preserve a World Series.
You know, it's a guy who went from playing every day to suddenly playing once every 2 days, once every 3 days, not knowing when he was necessarily going to play. It looked very different the way the team is run under Dusty Baker than most other teams. We saw this with Christian Vasquez also. Everybody was very happy to see Christian Vasquez come to the Astros. Here's a guy who was hitting, 290 when he got here. And, you know what? He's got to at least have a 50-50 split, right? And it wasn't. Maldi was still catching 60 to 65% of the games. And in the postseason, Maldi caught, I'd say, 80% of the games. So that's just, look, Dusty had his faith in Maldonado. That's how it was going to be. It wasn't going to change. And, you know, Vasquez is a guy who wants to catch every day. So he's probably not going to be back here. Even if they could get him on a decent deal, he wants to catch every day. And if he's going to be the catcher, then, you know, he's a pretty good bat for a catcher. He's not really a good enough bat to be a DH.
Here's the thing, Pat. I'm a huge Vasquez guy. If you were willing to go out and give up a Jose Urquidy instead of a couple prospects to go get a Contreras, in my mind, Vasquez is a way better defensive catcher, and he's not that big of a fall-off in terms of offense from Contreras. You mentioned he was almost a three. He was the best hitting catcher in baseball for most of this season. The fact that he can hit for average, he can hit for some pop. Does he hit home runs all the time? He doesn't need to in this lineup. But I think that based on what I saw yesterday on ESPN when they were kind of calculating the top 50 free agents, what they might command, if he only wants $7 million a year and he can be your starting catcher, Maldi backs him up. When Maldi's catching, he can DH. He can do some other things. I would make an effort to go get him. They've already met with Contreras. Contreras' salary is going to be a lot higher, especially if you're chasing JV. You could do a lot worse than bringing back Christian Vasquez.
See, I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, you could do well. But again, if he wants to catch every day, then he's got his own decision of why he doesn't want to be back. While I think Vasquez is a good average hitter, he hits for a good average, mm-hmm. He doesn't hit anywhere near the power of Wilson Contreras.
No, he doesn't.
And Contreras' biggest defensive liability is he's not a very good pitch framer. For right now, that's an issue. Eventually, they're going to go to an automated strike zone. It's not going to make a darn bit of difference. But for right now, one of the things that Vasquez and that Maldonado especially are very good at is framing pitches. They're able to steal strikes. Contreras is not great at stealing strikes. He's got a good arm. He's got a very good arm. And he blocks the plate, but he just that is the deficiency for Wilson Contreras. Now, Contreras is not going to hit for the average of somebody like Christian Vasquez. Contreras is a 255, 260 hitter, but 20-plus home runs from behind the plate. There's only a handful of guys who give you that kind of power behind the plate. You know, him, JT Romuto, Yasmani Grandal, Alexander Kirk. There's not a lot of guys who give you that kind of power.
The kid in Baltimore, too.
Adley Rutschman, he had 14 homers. I mean, he didn't play the whole season, but he's another one who probably has 20 home run potential. There's not a lot of power hitting catchers. From a defensive perspective, and look, next year when the rules change and the bases are going to be bigger and the pitchers are going to be on a pitch clock and you're only going to be allowed to throw over to first base twice because if you throw a third time and you don't pick them up, it's a balk. So there are going to be a lot more base-stealing opportunities next year. Guys are going to be more aggressive on the base paths. You need somebody who can really pop out of the chute and fire it down. And we saw Vasquez is very good at that. But as long as there is a timeshare, I think he's going to want to play somewhere else. And look, I wish him the best. He's – for what he did when he was here. He gave you everything he had. He caught a no-hitter in a World Series game. He certainly gave you enough that you're not going to wish him ill. You're not going to begrudge him for leaving. Sure, I would like him to stay. At the same time, they're starting to get a logjam. They've got to decide what they're going to do with Corey Lee. They've got to decide what they're going to do with Yiner Diaz.
Yeah, but that's the thing, too. Then why would you go after Contreras?
Well, I think they looked at him as a rental.
But he just met with them he met with his representatives in Vegas. So that's what I don't understand. They're still talking to him. Why are you still pursuing him when you already have a guy like Vasquez? If that's I'm trying to figure out their objective.
I think that if they were to have Contreras on this team, they'd carry three catchers, because I think Contreras would probably get a lot of time at DH.
Okay.
So
Then you bring up one of the young guys, Corey Lee,
and then
or
Corey Lee or Yiner Diaz, which right now I would think it'd probably be Corey Lee, because I think Corey Lee is a little bit better defender. I think they're still trying to determine what position Yiner Diaz is going to play. Is he going to be an outfielder? Is he going to be a first baseman? Is he going to be a catcher? I think first base might wind up being his position, but I don't know that they're sold on Yiner Diaz just quite yet. So Corey Lee, I think they're more comfortable with Corey Lee behind the plate. So I think Corey Lee would wind up being, quote, the backup catcher. And Contreras would probably DH and catch a few games. So if you're going to have Yordan DH, Contreras might go behind the plate. If you're going to have Yordan in left field, you could have Contreras DH. One of the things that, you know, when we get into the outfielder conversation, that will come into play as well. And we're going to get into Justin Verlander. We're kind of don't have a whole lot of time left in this segment, so we'll really kind of carry it over into the next segment. But Justin Verlander has opted out of his contract. He has become a free agent. Jim Crane was always going to be negotiating a new deal. This is not something that was unexpected. Everybody planned for this, knew about it. My question to you, Joel, and I know this is something you're probably going to want to answer on the other side, but let me lay this out for you. The Astros, under Jim Crane, historically have not handed out big-time major money contracts. Right? Jose Altuve still has the biggest contract. And we've seen them let go of Dallas Keuchel, Charlie Morton, Gerrit Cole, George Springer, Carlos Correa. There is no shortage of big-time talent that has left this team because Jim Crane did not want to commit a big-time major money contract to those guys. Now, Justin Verlander will probably not be getting a long-term contract, but considering he's going through his age 40 season, anything more than 2 years is a long-term contract.
Right.
Is Verlander Jim Crane's unicorn? Is he the one guy that Crane will throw all of his other principles out the window for because he's Justin Verlander, because of who he is, that he's a future Hall of Famer? Maybe he wants him to wear an Astros hat into the Hall of Fame, not that he gets the pick. But is he the unicorn? I want to get all Joel's thoughts on this when we come back next. Killer Bees.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is sharing the message that connection is crucial because good relationships are an essential and sometimes overlooked component of mental well-being. If your relationships could use some strengthening, a licensed therapist from Talkspace can help. Therapy can help you communicate better with loved ones, repair conflicts, and understand how to address loneliness and build community. It's easy to sign up. Just go to Talkspace.com and you'll be paired with a therapist within 2 days. You'll meet with your therapist online on your schedule. Plus, Talkspace is in network with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Make personal connections a priority and start today. If you're not covered by insurance, get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80. That's SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80.